I found this by Ernest Holmes, and I thought it was very appropriate for all of us, and especially for this class. And if you will read that, I shall keep the promise that I have made myself. And this is the main thing that we do. We forget the promise that we made to ourselves. So use this little thing and remember this the way you would do an affirmation or anything else. Yes, I made it big for so I made it big so I could read it.
We of the blind appreciate it.
I said to the woman, "Can you make this bigger?" She said, "Oh yes." I said, "Fine, make it bigger." So anyway, with the money and all that, you see what we say to ourselves all the time? We say we're poor, sick, weak, and unhappy. We say that to ourselves. Come in. May I give you one of these? Are you a newcomer?
Kind of. Well, the first time here.
First time here.
She knows us.
She knows us?
Candace,
oh.
She goes to
Candace. So I don't have to explain to you that this is a metaphysical teaching. Oh, good.
That one's it.
But anyway, please use this in your daily mental work. Put it someplace and use it and remind yourself, because that's what we do to ourselves. We start out on all these things and we say we're going to do all this and we make these promises to ourselves and then we break these promises all the time. And tonight it will be very appropriate with this, because we're going to talk about words and thoughts and how words and thoughts affect our life. But before we get into that, we'll do a spiritual mind treatment, which is just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to affirm or reaffirm what the universe already knows about us. I will do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. There is only good in this world, and I am some part of that good. And I use that good in my life. I use that good constantly. And I see only good around me. And I let that good bring to me what I want in life. And what I want is prosperity, abundance, and money. And I let that be so, and so it is. So tonight it's words words and thoughts. First of all, I made this statement a long time ago, that this thing that we call God, or the universe, or Harry, is beyond thoughts and words. Absolutely beyond thoughts and words. But because we're finite and we live here on this plane of action, we communicate with thoughts and words. And we try to identify God. We try to find out God's characteristics and so forth. We may be able to find out some of those. We'll never be able to find out all of those because we don't have words or thoughts for it. God's beyond all this. God's beyond us, even though God is in us and all around us. The mind of God, which is infinite, does not know the things that we go through. God does not have emotions. If God had emotions, what do you think the chaos would be in the universe? You know, I made it Mars, let it smash into Venus. You see, God's beyond that, and we cannot comprehend that. We cannot comprehend that. But I'm saying that to you so that you don't get an idea that God is this, this, or this. We don't know what God is. What we know about God is that God is an energy. And that's what I'd like you to remember, that God is an energy. And that energy is through everything. If you'll remember that the ancient Egyptians, their main god was Ra, which was the sun god. And they knew that that sun But the energy from the sun was in everything. The energy of the sun is in everything. You know, it's in this chair, it's in me, it's in the plants, it's in the flowers, it's everywhere. It's in the grass. The energy's in the grass, the cow eats the grass, the cow makes the milk. Now it's in the milk, now it's in the meat. And that's why they thought that the sun was a god, because it's in everything. But this energy that we're talking about, this God energy, this energy for good, is like the sun, and it is in everything. And it's everywhere present at the same power. You know, there's no weakness in it. It can stretch itself anywhere it wants, do anything it can, and the power is always the same. Unity has a saying, there's not a spot where God is not. And this is absolutely true. But I want you to think of it as an energy, so that you know that you have an energy that you're working with. And that's what we're pulling through ourselves. We are that energy, but we're pulling more through ourselves so that we can manifest something in our lives, so that we can bring into our lives what we want. And we do that, of course, with our thoughts and with our words. And since this class is prosperity and abundance, including money, we have to know what we're saying about money, about our finances. How many times do you say to somebody, how are you doing? And they say, well, I'm keeping my head above water. Very bad. Very bad. Say goodbye to that person. You know, you don't want to be around people who have that attitude. And you don't want to have that attitude. But see, that's a thought and that's a word going on. And that's what how we develop things, by our thinking and by the words we use. How many people are familiar with the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad? Well, he maintains that rich people use different words. Now, when I'm around what I consider rich people, and I'll tell you the story, I was around my friend Colette. Colette's my friend that I've known for years. I was in New York visiting her when the towers went down. But anyway, her boyfriend, Colette's 81, she has a boyfriend.
All right for her. Yeah. Whoa.
But she was talking to me about the boyfriend, and he's in construction work in New York. He builds buildings. And she was saying, well, a mill here, a mill there, a mill here, a mill there. And I thought, a mill? What the hell is this? I thought they were talking about mills, you know, that used to manufacture something. They're talking about millions of dollars, and they just shorten it to mill. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
I never knew that. Yeah. So, see, they use different words. They use different words than we do. So we have to find out what those words are, and we have to start using those words and get rid of this thing. I'm, you know, keeping my head above water. Do you remember Christine used to love the one, my income is higher than my outgo. Mm-hmm. And she would use her hands to do that. And that's what we have to think, because most people say, oh, well, ends met at the end of the month. But we don't want ends to just meet at the end of the month. We want a surplus, you see. We want more money. We don't want that. But we keep that. Many people keep that in their mind, and they just keep redoing that. And they think, oh, boy, look what I've accomplished. And, of course, they have accomplished that. This energy that I'm talking about, this thing, the universe, or this thing called God, does something that we don't do. This thing believes everything you say. You see, and we don't even believe everything we say. But the universe absolutely believes everything you say. You can tell the universe anything, and the universe is, uh-huh, you're right. You're right.
I'm going to interrupt and interject on your Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because my brother bought his CDs, and I listened to them. But he talked about a time 11 or 12 years ago when he was black, well, And he was on a ski trip with his wife and a fellow named, I want to say, Larry Kaufman, who started on that weekend. They sat down and said, Larry Kaufman challenged them to make the decision to become rich. And he said he and his wife fought it for days. And the Kaufman is the guy who went on and started Kaufman Grove Home.
Yes.
And, you know, never built a house in his life, just hires people. And he said it was 3 or 4 days that he had to realize he had to accept that it was okay for him to be there. And once he made the decision, then it started to count. Now, it's funny you brought it up because I've been thinking that for the last week. It's been going through my head that I have to make that decision.
Okay. Nothing is by chance or accident, and nothing is funny that I bring up unless I'm telling a joke.
Your timing is
How many times have I told you that you people come here because I have something to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what that is, by the way. I just babble. But you came because you needed to hear that tonight. That had to be brought up again. This happens all the time. You know, when I used to give sermons, people would come up to me afterwards, oh, that was wonderful. You said, I never said any of that stuff. I'd say, thank you very much. And out they would go, because we hear what we want to hear. And when we go to places, anytime you go any place, to a movie, I don't care what you go to, where you go, you have to know that you're going there to learn something, that what you need to know is there.
Mm-hmm.
When you come here, you have to know that what you need is here, and it will be here. You know, if I don't do it, somebody in the class, and you'll have an aha experience with it. How many people here have made a decision to be rich?
Have.
Good. Yes, make that decision. Many people are afraid to make that decision. What would be the worst that could happen? And once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. This thing that we call God, this thing that we call the universe, this thing that absolutely believes everything we tell it, is so polite, it won't argue with you. So when it won't say you have to make a decision. But if you make the decision, it says, oh, they made the decision. Now I'm going to come in and push them right through that decision.
It's
that's
the same
why.
Thing if it's negative.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Because
yeah.
I've come to realize that through the years, I will say that I want something, and as soon as someone says they will do it for me, my husband, my family, I think, what are you talking about? I just said it. I didn't really mean it. I don't want the responsibility of wanting it. And now I understand what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
While I was doing it, I had no clue.
On the word responsibility, my acting teacher last night was talking to her students about if you want to be a star, you have to be willing to be responsible to be a star,
yes.
To be
mm-hmm.
wealthy, because you are then a conduit for other people's livelihood. I drove home and said out loud, I'm willing to accept that responsibility, because in order to be wealthy, you are a conduit.
May I change just one thing?
I hope so.
Each and every one of us is a conduit.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a conduit for God.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take care of other people when we're doing all that. Yes. People are afraid to become wealthy because they think it's too much responsibility. Don't worry about that in the least, because you will pay people to do that. Henry Ford always put the best people around him and paid them. He said, let them think of the idea. Let them do it. He knew enough to put people together. I knew tons of people in business I won't relinquish the business so it will not grow. I know tons of people in business that hire inferior people mm-hmm. because they're afraid that somebody will be smarter than they are. Mm-hmm. You want smart people around you. You want smart people around you. Pardon?
What else are you paying for?
Well, absolutely, but so many people are afraid, mm-hmm. and they don't do that. I worked for an organization that, you know, they were so afraid that somebody would come in and be smarter than they were. It was hard. I didn't stay there very long for many reasons. But you have to make that decision. You have to make the decision to be rich. And also not be afraid of the responsibility. The responsibility will take care of itself. Other people will come in to do that for you. The universe will come in to do that for you. I don't know where we get this idea about responsibility, that it's so hard and heavy and so forth. I was never in my life afraid of responsibility, nor was I ever afraid to make a decision. It's either right or wrong, and you'll find out very quickly. And then you just change it.
What about when you keep hearing as you grow up?
Well, you have to get rid of it if it's negative. Absolutely. Most people never raise above the income that their family made
mm-hmm.
because they're afraid to go higher than that. And their family usually will keep them down because they'll say things like, who do you think you are? And all kinds of things to keep you in that level. Because if you raise above them, then they're there saying, oh my God, I could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And they don't want to hear that. Now, there are families, yes, of course, who are different, but they speak a different language, and they're already into wealth. They've been born into wealth, so they make more wealth. But you have to make the decision that you can be wealthy. And why don't most people make that decision? Most people think that being wealthy is only held for 2% of the population. And by the way, you know, because you believe that, 2% of the population has all the money in the world. And if we took all the money from those 2%, in no time, they would be right back and have all the money in the world. Because they have a prosperity consciousness. Because they think rich. What else do they think about themselves? Absolutely. And they know that. And they do that for themselves, you see. So that's what you want to learn with. Look at your vocabulary. Look at the thoughts that you're having. And see what you can do. I want to also mention something. This is a young man that's new. Well, maybe not new, but you're new here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that this is a metaphysical teaching. Oh, terrific. And I have a handout, which I will give you. Oh, you got one for him. All right. So anyway, I would like to talk a moment, and I'll give you a book, too. I had a mental equivalent. I was talking to somebody, and I said, where is so-and-so? And I don't know the person's name. They don't come to class anymore. And the person said to me, well, they felt slighted. And I said, what do you mean they felt slighted? Well, you had one mental equivalent left, and you gave it to somebody else.
Oh, my God.
Now, the reason why I bring that up is I try not to slight anyone. I hold you all in the same self-esteem. I wouldn't do that. One book, two people, I'd probably looking in that direction instead of in this direction. But that's not why I bring that up. I bring that up because we're learning how the mind works and how we work with our own mind. That is an old belief system that the person had, that they're always slighted, they're always left out. So that person was willing to throw away this teaching and not the old belief system. You see. So that must happen all the time to that person. Because it has to. Why does it have to?
Because that's the way they think.
That's the way they think, and it has to prove itself constantly. If it didn't prove itself, you would go crazy. Your mind always has to prove itself. If it didn't, you'd go crazy. Take my word for it. I've been there. So, think of those things when you, if I say something that offends you, that does anything like that, I'm not doing it. You're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I do nothing to you. You do it to yourself. But you may blame it on me, you may project it on me, but I haven't done a thing. You see. Now that person, how long that will last in their life, I don't know. But they're not going to have a very nice life if they're always that sensitive. And that's my next little thing. Try not to be sensitive. If you do treatment work, treat not to be sensitive. Now I know that people think that it's absolutely wonderful, especially if you're an actor, to be sensitive. That's not true. You must be aware, and you must be able to use your senses, and you must be able to use your feelings, but when you want to. You cannot fall for I'm a sensitive person and I cry at the drop of a hat. That is not using the mind of God. Can you see God crying? Can you see God getting upset? No. But the world teaches you that that's all right. That's why we have all these people taking Prozac and whatever else they take. Because, and it's quite all right with them because we're all, you were just born sensitive. You're a sensitive human being, and that's just swell. But that's hogwash. That's not swell, and that person's not having a very nice life.
Now,
you see.
In the Daily Word this month, there's an article, and it said people that are sensitive draw all the negative energy to them.
Because you have to prove that you're sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go around saying, I'm sensitive, and not expect that to be drawn to you. That's the way it works. I've said this many times, I'm going to say it again tonight. This teaching absolutely works if you work it. It absolutely works if you work it. And try to work it 100%. Try to believe in it 100%. And it will pay you back 100%. You see? Part-time efforts produce part-time results. Part-time efforts cannot give you 100%. But if you give 100%, you'll get back 100%. A lot of people don't want to make that effort. And it's not that big of an effort to change your thinking, to see things differently, to realize that there is a life going on around here that's completely different. It's completely different than the world wants to tell you or whatever's out there that wants to tell you. It's completely different. I saw something on television, I'll try to piece it together. It was a husband and wife doing something, and she got angry. It was a commercial, I think. And the thing underneath the announcer underneath said, well, that's the way it always is. You try to do something nice and see what happens.
Oh.
Well, that's propaganda, people. That's horrible. And that sinks into everyone's minds. All that stuff that you hear out there just keeps sinking in and sinking in till you start to believe that that's what the world is all about. And that is not. The world may be that, but we're not that. The universe is not that. God is not that. Please. Try to be able to distinguish that and use that idea of the energy, that it's everywhere, that this thing we call God is everywhere and is always there to help you. Why is it always there to help you? Because it is you. The Creator and the creation are one in the same thing. Are one in the same thing. Try to remember that. Try to see if you can't get that into your being. Using your a little thing here, the promise that you made, that you won't do that to yourself anymore. It's always easy to fly right back and, you know, think the way the world's thinking. But where has that ever gotten anybody? You know, where has it gotten the world? Into strife, struggle, strain, war, hatred? No. We don't need that. And we don't have to have that. There's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And this, if you use this teaching, you will learn to go through life differently. You will learn to be happy. You will learn to like yourself. And you will learn to like everybody else. You see. You will learn to like everybody else. Well, why don't you say that? Oh, look at this. Mm-hmm. Andy, she's back. Here, I have a chair for you.
No.
We missed you.
Oh, good.
Me too. We also talked about you. Nothing but good. So anyway, words and thoughts. And words happen to structure thought, by the way. You cannot have a thought unless you structure it in words. You see, you think a thought drops into your head. People say, oh, that thought just dropped into my head. Well, if a thought just dropped into your head and had no words, you'd never hear it. You see? You have to use words. And you have to use words in the language that you're proficient with. We think differently because of the words we use than a German or a Frenchman or anything. That's the other thing that gets us into trouble, because we think they're thinking the same way we're thinking. Well, they're not thinking the same way we're thinking because they have a different vocabulary. Make sense to you? But when it comes to a God vocabulary, it's universal. It's universal. And what is God's vocabulary?
Love.
Which is a what?
Feeling.
God operates in feelings. That's why you have to have a warmth of feeling. You have to feel it. And then it will manifest for you. And do we know manifest means? In the Bible, you're a Bible person. It says it took flesh. It took flesh and dwelled among us. And that's what a manifestation does. It takes flesh and dwells among us. And we say, that's the money. That's the prosperity. That's the abundance that you see. It takes a material form.
Just a clarification, because earlier you said that God doesn't have emotions.
Yes.
But then now you said he operates in feelings. And I realize there's a difference. I just want clarification.
Right. There's a difference between emotion and feelings. Pardon? Feelings can turn into an emotion if they get into motion. That's how you have an emotion. It means something in motion. Feelings, on the other hand, you can decide what feeling you're having. You usually can't decide what emotion you're going to have. You have no control sometimes over that. But you always have control over your feelings. And the whole idea is to feel that love. Of what?
Clarification on that. Isn't it sometimes that you can have a certain feeling which can alter your emotion? Like, if you're feeling a certain thing and you learn to feel it properly, you can stop being angry?
The only way you can stop being angry is to change that feeling, and the way you change that feeling is with a thought, because feeling always follows thought. You cannot have a feeling unless you're having a thought.
Okay.
That help you?
But the feeling still can, because
yes.
You go from thought to feeling to
right.
change of emotion.
Right.
Okay. Because that's what happened
right.
to me.
Right. Who said something when I, did you, when I just asked a question a minute ago? No. Well, that is a big one for you. But stop. Well, change that word. It's not a big one. It's very easy to love other people. You don't want to go around saying it's hard and biggie. It's a big problem. Well, change that too. Why don't you just say it's easy? It's easy. That's changing. You have to say it's easy. I said something about love. We were saying love. And I said, love of what? To get what you want.
Love of self.
Yes,
love of self.
Please. Love of self. You're saying. God does not need your love. I know that's shocking. But God's way above that.
Well, aren't we part of God? So love of self is still up above.
It is, but it's a, you know,
yeah.
We're working on two planes here.
Okay.
But you cannot think, you know, oh, I'll love God. And we see that all the time, that if we love God, we love God, which is a very nice idea, but it's not necessary. What's necessary is for you to love yourself. God does not need your love. God does not need your worship. Now, I need your worship. Feel free. So anyway, for money, for prosperity, for anything in your life, look at how you're saying something. Look at what you're saying to yourself all day long. You're saying, are you saying, I am rich? I have mills. I love that, mills. I'll never forget that.
I've many mills.
Many mills.
Countless mills.
Well, I have to remember that always. Mills. I had no idea what she was talking about. Oh, well, I'll tell you also, she was telling me when they go out, and it was just like, I think she said they took four people out to dinner, and the wine bill was $1,000-some-odd just for the wine. Is it? Well, I thought, oh, my God, you bought a winery. Or a mill that makes wine. So anyway, change your vocabulary, your internal vocabulary about money, you see, so that you know that you always have money and that you're not struggling to make ends meet. That's a horrible one to say to yourself. Or, I'm keeping my head above water. What did somebody else say to me one time? They were treading water. I thought, oh, God, you're going to drown. No. We don't want
hanging in and then you're going to fall
down. You get tired. You get tired and drown.
Yes, you get tired and you drown instead of doing something, you know.
Like swimming.
Like, well, yes, swimming, make money, do something. All right. Now, tonight, and Andy was going to tell me, because the time. Oh, I'm wrapping up. I'm wrapping up. Because people want me to do that meditation again so that it gets on a tape.
May I interject just another short
story? You may do anything.
25 years or so ago, the Hunt brothers, who were from a very wealthy family, incredibly wealthy family, tried to corner the silver market.
Yes, I remember.
Okay. And they were called on the Senate floor because it had caused all this chaos. And I'll never forget, a senator, yeah, I'll never forget, a senator asked Nelson Bunker Hunt, said, "Mr. Hunt, how much are you worth?" And he said, "I don't know." And the senator said, "Mr. Hunt, do you mean to tell me that you really don't know how much you were worth?" And Nelson Bunker said, "Well, my daddy always taught me a man who knew how much he was worth wasn't worth very much." So that's the difference in attitude that the rich have.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's that attitude that they have. So try to cultivate that attitude in your own self. And it will work for you. It absolutely will work for you. How many people have been using it and it has been working for them? It works. This teaching absolutely works. I would not be up here telling you a pack of lies. Just wouldn't do it to you. And you can go out and prove this all the time. Your Jonathan proves it all the time, doesn't he? And he gets excited, doesn't he? See, and that's the feeling. That's the excitement. He gets excited. Which is fine. Get excited about the whole thing. Get excited about your life. Get excited about life itself. Get excited about money. Andy, you couldn't spend $10,000 the other day.
Oh,
you could spend $7,000.
I stopped.
You stopped at $10,000.
I'm still going. I started last week after.
Oh, you did? For those that weren't here last week, there's something called the prosperity game, where you make a fictitious bank account and you deposit $1,000 the first day and you spend it on paper. And the next day you spend $1,000 more, $2,000, deposit, spend it. And you do that for several days. Well, you're supposed to play the game for 300 days, but like when I got the $7,000, it's just like my life was just so abundant. Consciousness has expanded, and then Jeff had played the game, and he made it to about 10,000. It's just like, it's just so much money.
Which is a lot more than, that just means the 10th day. You've already spent 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
Right.
Because each day you're spending that one.
Yes.
It's like 1,000, then 2,000,
yeah.
Total 3,000.
Yeah.
So that's 6,000 in 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You start with another 1,000, like you spend 1,000, then next day you start with 2,000.
Yeah.
You have to spend that every day, so it's Bruce's Millions.
That's
great.
I can spend it.
Yeah, you actually write it down. I did it in QuickBooks.
I must confess, my first 4 days were just paying off bills.
I told this story once before about stretching your consciousness and all, and I'm always trying to stretch mine as far as I can, but I'm always blown out of the water with something. I was watching television, one of the educational stations, I believe, and they were showing the Lear jets and the factory, and that people come there and have custom-made Lear jets. Mm-hmm. The one wanted a bedroom for his grandchildren. The one wanted this. This one woman can only sleep when she's flying, so she flies every night. She has her own Lear jet and a pallet, and she has a bedroom in there. And she flies, and then they drop her off, I guess, in the morning. But it was amazing that you could customize them like a house or, you know.
Yeah.
And
or a suit.
And the, well, see, that's, who sits around thinking, your jet?
I do.
I really do.
Well, good. Well, now I'll tell another cute story on me about, I couldn't, Mills, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have, my father's side of the family has, well, it's my Aunt Jane and her family. And my cousin is Margaret. So I was home visiting, and I was at Margaret's, and she said to me, "Well, John and I are flying down to Nag's Head today." And I said, "Really, out of Harrisburg?" I said, "I don't think a plane goes there." I said, where do you have to go? Fly to, like, Pittsburgh first and then go?" And she looked at me and she said, "Dallas, we have our own plane." Thank you. Well, who thinks of that when you're, you know, I mean, seeing you have to stretch your consciousness because, you know, unfortunately she wasn't insulted, but I, you know, these people talk to each other about their planes and about all this stuff that they have,
right.
You know.
Right.
So you have to get around that conversation. There was a wonderful thing that I used to love to do when I was in North Carolina. Is anyone here familiar with Asheville,
yeah,
North Carolina? Okay. Well, you know the Biltmore House.
Yeah.
Well, you know Grove Park Inn.
Yeah.
Well, I
walk-in
fireplace. Oh yeah. Well, I would go to Grove Park Inn for breakfast simply because all the people that stayed there were in the stock market on vacation, you see, and so at breakfast. That's all they would be talking about, you know, what they made here and what was going on here and what the market was doing. And it was fabulous to soak that in, you know, to be around people, you know, beat the hell out of Denny's.
Sure. But you won't get a free breakfast on your birthday.
Well, that's maybe. But anyway, learn to be around people with money.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of people with money. Ask them questions. People with money, by the way, love to give you tips. They love to tell. You know, they're not standoffish and all.
You get in with the right group and they don't mind helping you out.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
And here in Cal, my daughter was looking at zip codes in the United States, the wealthy zip codes. 5 of the 10 top income cities are in California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love to go down there too. I go to the Ritz-Carlton down there and sit around.
Well, you know, your comment about the attitude and how they were talking at breakfast and all this, it's back to what you told about Jack Welch, former head of GE.
Yes.
It's a game.
It's a game.
And
they love it.
They like to play the game. And here's the thing that a lot of them realize is it's a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say,
they will help you. I've never met a rich person that was nasty, mean, or anything.
Yeah.
And we get that idea that rich people are nasty and mean and all that, and they're really not.
I have had that experience when I lived in Mexico, and I went to visit distant cousins, and they were having a wedding, and I was invited automatically because I came to say hello to my cousin, and this was one of the ones where you see in the movies only. The one room had the silver, and the other room had the gold, and the other room had the diamonds that they were showing, all the things, the gifts and so forth. And they just opened their hearts and their minds to me and invited me to everything. I went to a bar mitzvah, I went to everything, and they sponsored me in the Deportivo Israelita in Mexico, which is like a city unto itself. It's a like a country club, but it's a whole city. And they sponsored me. They introduced me and they brought me into the club and everything. They were just so, and I really didn't know them because they were a cousin of a distant cousin. And I just stopped to say hello.
Now that we've got this wealth council going.
Yeah.
For the people who are new and haven't done this meditation, it's a meditation to find your spiritual guide. And that spiritual guide can take any shape, form, or anything. The idea is to realize that you're never alone. That there is a power within you that will help you do anything that you want to do. It will give you answers. It will guide you. It will do all kinds of things for you. So we do this meditation to discover that within us. So if you'll just sit back and close your eyes and get comfortable and just remind yourself that this is something that you want to do and this is something that's very beneficial for you. You're completely surrounded by love here. and you're completely protected. So you can go just as deep into total relaxation as you feel comfortable going. And in order to help you relax even more, I would like you to picture or imagine that you're at the top of a beautiful staircase. And that staircase has 10 steps. And I'm going to count you down that staircase. And with every step, you're going to go deeper and deeper into total relaxation. And when you reach the bottom, you're going to step off into a beautiful, white, warm, friendly light. And when you step off into that beautiful, white, warm, friendly light, you're going to go 10 times deeper. 10 times deeper into total relaxation than you've ever gone before. So starting at the top, 10, 9, 8, every muscle and every nerve in your body just loosens up and lets go. That's it. Just let go. And it feels so good to just let go. 7, 6, 5. Halfway down now. Halfway down, and that wave of relaxation is now spread all over your body. That's it. Just allow that wave of relaxation to spread all over your body. And the deeper you go, the better it feels. And the better it feels, the deeper you go. That's it. Going deeper and deeper into total relaxation. 4, 3, 2. Almost down now. Almost ready to step off into that beautiful, white, warm, friendly light. And remember, when you step off into that beautiful, white, warm, friendly light, you're going to go 10 times deeper. 10 times deeper into total relaxation than you've ever gone before. Number one, stepping off into that beautiful, white, warm, friendly light. That's it. Just allow that light to completely wash all over you. Allow it to completely envelope you and carry you deeper and deeper into total relaxation. Deeper and deeper. And now as you stand there in that beautiful, white, warm, friendly light, a wave of peace comes over you. A wave of security comes over you. And it feels so good to be here. And now as you stand there, you notice a hallway in front of you. And you decide to start walking down that hallway. As you walk down that hallway, you notice a door at the end of the hallway. And as you get closer and closer to that door, you go deeper and deeper into total relaxation. That's it. Getting closer and closer. Going deeper and deeper. Closer and closer. Deeper and deeper. And now you're standing right in front of that door. And you can read written there in beautiful gold letters, "This is the place of the Most High." And as you stand there reading, "This is the place of the Most High," you decide to open the door and walk in. That's it. Just open the door and walk in. And now you find yourself in the most beautiful room that you've ever seen. And here you are at that place within you, at that spot within you, that has never been touched by anything on the outside of life. Here you are at that spot within you, at that place within you, where all life begins. Here you are at that spot within you, where your life begins. Now, as you stand there, you notice a chair in the middle of the room. And you decide to walk over and sit down on that chair. That's it. Just just walk over and sit down on that chair. And when you do, you go even deeper into total relaxation. And now, as you sit there, here at the very center of your being, here at that place that many call the place of the Most High, you notice a door on the other side of the room. And if you look at that door, you can hear footsteps approaching from the other side. And as those footsteps get closer and closer, you go deeper and deeper, closer and closer, deeper and deeper. And now that door starts to open. And framed there in that door is the most radiant being you have ever seen, wearing the most radiant garment that you have ever seen. And that radiant being looks at you and sends you wave after wave after wave of unconditional love. And as each wave passes over you, you go deeper and deeper into total relaxation. And now that radiant being starts to move towards you. And as it does so, that chair you're sitting on miraculously grows large enough for the radiant being to sit down beside you. And now the radiant being sits down beside you. And you put your head on its shoulder. And it tells you that it has always been with you. That it will always be with you. And that you can come here anytime and ask it anything. And it will give you the answer. So as you sit there, here at the very center of your being, with the radiant being beside you, you realize that you are not alone, that there is always the radiant being to help you in any situation. And now the radiant being tells you it is time for it to take its leave, and it ever so gently gets up and kisses you on the forehead, and it reminds you that it is always with you, that it always was with you, and that it will always be with you. And now it takes its leave. And it exits through the door from whence it came. And as you sit there in that room here at the very center of your being, you realize that you have heard the truth, that you have found the truth. You are never alone. Rest there in that thought a moment. I'm now going to count from 1 up to 5. On the count of 5, your eyes will open. You'll be wide awake and feeling wonderful. 1. Slowly, easily, and effortlessly, coming back to full awareness, bringing every detail with you. 2. Every muscle and every nerve in your body feels loose and limp and relaxed. 3, you feel good from the tips of your toes to the top of your head. You feel good physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Number four, your eyes start to feel as though they were bathed in cool spring water. On the next count now, your eyes will open. You'll be wide awake and feeling wonderful. Number five, eyes open, wide awake, and feeling wonderful. Oh, thank you. Any feedback? No. No feedback?
Yes, there was more often.
Oh, well, there you are. Come in, Jonathan. We were just talking about you. Jonathan, do you want to quickly tell the class about your trip to England and you went to tea and they just kept bringing you everything?
Oh, yes. Okay, we went to England because my mum's 70th birthday. And so we decided like we needed to do something really special. So we thought we'd take the Ritz for tea, which is what we do. We need something special. So we took her there and, you know, we booked a, we told them it was her birthday and it's a £35 for sandwiches. And that's like £60 for sandwiches. But I guess they must have been good sandwiches. They were good sandwiches. Yeah. But, so anyway, they brought out the sandwiches and then when I went there I said, was everything arranged for that? Oh yes, we've arranged the flowers and we've arranged the champagne and we've arranged the, you know, the cake as well. Now all of that wasn't part of the package, but they just did it on. But as it happened, I thought to myself, I wasn't surprised, it wasn't a miracle, it wasn't, it was what I'd asked for, what I'd obviously asked for, and it was delivered, and I just said, thank you, please come to me. Just, as I've always said since coming to Dallas, this is just what happens now. I don't get surprised anymore. It happens.
And that's the attitude to cultivate. That this isn't. I think, Andy, last week you were amazed at something, and I said, don't be amazed at things. You see, the world is amazed at things. We are not amazed at things. This is the way it works.
Maybe we should substitute delighted.
Delighted. But, you know, you're amazed when you say, oh, I was amazed that that happened. Like, you can't, because you have to expect that. You have to expect your life to unfold the way you want it to. You have to realize that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. You have to realize that there are people out there that want to supply you with cake and cookies and champagne. Yes, that they want to give you all that stuff. So start looking for that. And it doesn't mean you're a freeloader, doesn't mean you're anything. Now here, and I maybe Wesley can back me up on this. Once you obtain money, and these rich people have a lot of money, people give them stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. People give them stuff all the time. They don't buy things. You want a car? Here, have this car. Because they like you're driving around in it. Here, you know.
It's free advertisement.
It's the more you get, the more you get.
Yeah.
Mm. Bible. I'm picking them up.
I found my whole approach to other people has changed now. As an example, Michelle's sister and brother-in-law are going to Italy. I've been hoping that their flight plans would be disrupted because I wanted them to fly with my airline so that I could give them everything. And what's it, 3 days before they're supposed to go, their flight plans fell apart. And they came to me and they're now going to fly with my airline. So I'm able to give them so much, you know, they're paying very little, and I give them.
Can I have your own airline?
Not personally, I wish.
We'd all go someplace.
So where are we going? London, that's
right. Last trip.
Oh, I have friends right outside London.
Was very, very wealthy people. And the rich get richer. I mean, they never have a son on everything other than me.
Yes. Okay. This is this is a wonderful thing. Earlier we said, you know, I'm just keeping my head above water. The rich say, the rich get richer.
The rich get richer. They do get
That's
richer.
In their consciousness. You see the words they're using? The rich get richer. Mm-hmm. Now, when we say that sometimes, we go, oh, the rich get richer. Because we're jealous. Don't be jealous. Join them and say, I'm rich too. You say, the Bible, what I was going to tell you about the Bible, it says, to he who has, much is added. Mm-hmm. See, and if you're rich in consciousness, much is added to you.
There was an old saying back east all the time, the rich get rich and the poor get children. Well, they used to say that the rich get richer and the poor get children. Well,
yeah.
I have both. So, you know, I think that way, that the children are the richness and then the wealth will come. But I've only been doing that since I've been here.
So think of those things. Learn to change your words and your thoughts and bring prosperity, abundance, and money into your life. Because you people are absolutely wonderful.
And so are you, Dallas.
And so am I.
Yes.
And there ends the lesson. Thank you. Okay.